Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. I'm Norm Borg. You know, there's an Italian saying that goes, the world is a small town. I think that's very apt in describing the subject matter of today's edition. Down in Prince Edward Island, PEI's Harness Racing Industry Association commissioned a study some time ago. And you know something? The solutions that they propose there on that tiny bedrock of harness racing are the same that could be used anywhere in Canada. It is, in fact, a very small world. We'll find out how small when we speak to the president of PEI Harness Racing Industry Association, Tom Clark, on this edition of Trot Radio. Welcome back to Trot Radio. Tom Clark is the president of Prince Edward Island's Harness Racing Industry Association, which recently commissioned a study done by a professional consulting services group to take a look at the state of the industry in PEI and what can be done about the issues and challenges it faces. It also focuses on some of the strong points of racing on the island, and of course there are many. Tom joins us on the other end of my line. Welcome to Trot Radio, Tom.
Well, thank you, Norm, very much. I'd like to extend best wishes for everyone in the holiday season, and most of all, thank you to you, Norm, for having the opportunity to speak with you today and the folks at Standard Bred Canada.
Well, it's our pleasure, as always, and season's greetings to you and yours as well. I was surprised, and not surprised, I suppose, but to find that, you know, the wager is down in PEI. And, you know, of course, it is down all over Canada. I just expected that it might be a little better on the island, given the fanaticism for the game overall. That, along with some other issues, are first and foremost on your list of how to grow the business.
You're correct. The last couple of years, we've been maintaining pretty near the status quo when it comes to our revenue bases and our wagering streams. Now, having said that, if you look a little further back, say a half a dozen years, yes, we are experiencing a decline, and that's where our level of concern comes in. As people that work within the industry, we felt, gee, this can't continue. We need to shore up and strengthen our revenue streams, because on the opposite side of our accounting page, expenses continue to rise, and the cost of operation to operate racetracks and put on race programs has not, of course, dropped any.
No.
It's increased.
Now, this report, which you commissioned, addresses some of the strategies that you should be initiating. And you know something? You could almost take this report and apply it to any jurisdiction in Canada. I found that under the strengths and weaknesses area, it's just so similar to what's going on in the rest of the country. For example, the aging fan base. And here's another one. Perception of a limited lack of willingness to change the product offering. And the other one I want to focus on, without being too negative, is the focus on the horseman versus the customer. Now, God bless our horsemen. But you know what? We're losing customers, and we've got to start focusing on them. And not only that, as an industry, we've got to start mixing up the product. You know, winning 5-10 on a exacta is just not going to turn anybody's crank.
Yeah, you're right, Norm. The report was fairly comprehensive in that it spoke to probably, it's a 100-page-plus document, mm-hmm. and it spoke to folks, not just direct participants within our industry, but also the indirect. And we tried to draw upon, or from those folks, their perceptions. In other words, not just trainers and owners and drivers and racetrack operators, but our customers, yeah. Who we feel the wagering public. And some of those perceptions, whether they're reality or not, are not quite as kind as maybe we would like them to be. Or the reality of it is I think we have to do a better job for those folks.
Another issue I think that tends to throw a monkey wrench in the works is, and this is listed under the opportunities and threats portion of the report, I may get in trouble for this, but it wouldn't be the first time. Canadian paramutual agency regulations perceived by the participants, to be antiquated and a stumbling block for the industry. I don't think there's anybody in this industry that would argue with that.
Yes, and you're right. At the risk of being too critical.
We'll pay each other's fines, okay?
things have advanced so significantly in our world, technologically, that, and that's, this is just one example, that perhaps we've been left behind with respect to areas in which we can create more revenue. And because of, you know, the limitations as to what we can do and how we can do it, it leaves us at a disadvantage, and I think we're leaving a lot of opportunities on the plate. So part of this report was to try and drill down into to some of those opportunities that we feel that we can embellish.
In your action plan that follows all this, you have basically two goals. One is to achieve growth in the purse pool of 10% each year over the next 5 years. Number two, achieve 5% growth in new entrants to the industry each year for the next 5 years. Let's talk about the action plan, then, the two goals, and how you hope to achieve them. Because I think the rest of the country could learn from this.
Well, first of all, I think to be successful, we're going to have to call on folks not only directly involved, but most importantly as well, indirectly involved. So how we're going to unfold this early in the new year, probably February, we'd like to provide an opportunity for industry input into these action plans, items that we've identified in our report. And the items, we'd like to prioritize them, identify lead people for various aspects of the report. For instance, maybe it's with respect to marketing, maybe it's with respect to wagering platforms or technologies. And we'd like to get these folks together. It'll take a lot of buy-in from the industry association, Horse Owners Association, the Atlantic Lottery Corporation, Red Shores, our government, and so on.
Overall, your view of the report, is it a good news report, bad news?
Well, overall, it's kind of two-pronged. If we looked at the most important part of what we tried to produce from this report, which is areas of growth, areas in which we could specifically identify that we can sit down and go to work, the time for talk is probably well behind us. We have to start to implement. And the other side of the report, which is the measurement of our impact on our economy here in Prince Edward Island, was very important because that will help us establish where we are in 2010 so that in a couple of years down the road when we review this again, we'll be able to see, you know, okay, how did we do? We'll be able to measure our advances.
It's interesting. One of the strategies you point out is to educate the value of the harness racing sector to your economy via guest speaker presentations. Folks going out from our industry, say, to a Rotary Club. It's just as potent in a city of a million like Ottawa or a city like, you know, what's Toronto these days? I don't think we can look at this, those of us outside of PEI, and say, yeah, well, that works for a small island province. Everything in this report that I've seen as far as what the strategies are to grow the industry can be very used elsewhere in the country. So I think you guys are to be congratulated for taking a realistic approach.
Yeah, well, thank you, Norman. And I feel exactly the same way. I don't think anything that's in this report is reinventing the wheel. We across North America face a lot of the same challenges despite our jurisdictions. Our governments here, both our current and previous, have been extremely appreciative of our industry here in Prince Edward Island. I find, in my experience, Norm, it's hard enough to keep our own participants educated as to exactly the impact that we have as an industry. That's our very own people, let alone folks that are sitting around a cabinet table or in caucus who are very unfamiliar with our sport. So part of this project, this study, enabled us to be able to, as you mentioned, go around and let those folks know, whether they're at government or in business or at Rotary, exactly what we mean or what we have as an impact.
It's very simple stuff sometimes. You know, the little things can be very effective. I went to a Rotary Club luncheon, spoke to that group, and guess what? They all came out for a night at the races. And that's not preaching to the choir. You know, those are new converts, as it were. And it doesn't take a whole lot. You don't have to be splashy about it. Just one-on-one, they sense our passion for the game, and they want to pick up on it. Tom Clark, good work on this report. Let us know how the implementation of it is going over time. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much, Norm. I really appreciate you taking the time to allow us to have a few words on this. We could spend the day on it, actually, and we're really excited about it. So,
yeah. Well, all the best. All the best for the holidays, and we'll follow this story closely throughout the new year.
Thank you, Norm.